Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Benoons.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good. How are you doing today?
Feeling great, you know? Riding the wave of a good old-fashioned Beverly Hills dinner party. One of the best franchises to do that. Yeah.
It really is. It's shockingly a good season. I really thought this season was going to be in trouble because we didn't have Rinna there leaking everything like all the other seasons. By the way, I called a long time ago that that shit was Rinna. So if anybody would like to send that gold medal to my house as an award, I'm here waiting for it. Because Ronnie called that 2 seasons ago, 5 seasons ago. Puppy, apple puppy. Juice ago. That's when I called that. So anyway, guys, welcome to the show. Just wanted to open with saying I'm right. That's a fun thing to say. Also, we're on demand today. So if you want to watch this video, do it. It's on Patreon. No one's stopping you. Lots of bonus episodes, fun stuff. Thanks to everybody who supports us over there. One thing I just want to announce today is last week we were talking about Kyle and I was saying, God, it's so weird that I don't hate Kyle. Like, I was noticing this trend in me that my rage was low while I was watching Beverly Hills, and it felt weird. I just wanted to announce I'm much better now. Kyle!
Yes,
same. Goodbye, Kyle! You suck! Boo! I was literally yelling at my TV, you suck, stupid Kyle, throwing things at my TV. The rage was just roiling over, and you know what? It felt fucking amazing. So thank you.
Yeah. It's so funny they said that because I felt the same way. I felt like every time I make a proclamation this season, then something happens that makes me like be like, ugh, I was wrong. You know, like Kyle. I was like, Kyle's not annoying me that much this season. But then like last week and this week, I was like, ugh, fuck Kyle. It's like as usual, Kyle. I really enjoyed, by the way, the Garcelle scene this week where, you know, earlier Ray and I were talking about like, yeah, when Garcelle's like home scene started up, I'm always like, ugh. But then I liked her scene with her son. So I'm like, I think I just have to stop making, you know, proclamations during the season. I'll just wait to the end of the season.
And just have like, an opinion every day. Don't worry about it. Yeah. We don't need to make huge, you know, statements.
You don't need to be consistent.
That said, I do not agree about the Garcelle thing. Like, I think Garcelle is fucking hilarious. I think she had a great episode in general. I'm sick of the parenting scenes. Like, I've had it. Like, oh, wow, you talk to your sons. Do something else.
I agree.
Are you mad
but
at
I actually
me?
Like,
I, was I a bad I like parent? Scene. You know your dad left me. You know your dad cheated on me. Girl, like, enough, okay? Now, all the other parts where she was just making smart-ass comments about people, I thought were fucking amazing. And she's really gotten good at all of that. You know, I'm glad they kept Garcelle.
Yeah, no, I really continue to like Garcelle. I generally am not interested in the parenting scenes, but for some reason I liked the scene this week. I don't know why. I don't know, maybe because it was like the revelation that her son knew all along about this like horrific affair and everything was like felt more substantial than the kid complaining about like not knowing how to put gas in a car. I don't know. Like it seemed more interesting than the kid, one of the kids talking about having a girlfriend. I was like, okay, I'm more invested here. I don't know. Maybe I was just like cut. Maybe I was in an emotional place. I don't know.
Well, you certainly do not have to explain it to me, sir.
Well,
you do what you do. I mean, one thing I've always really loved about you is your confidence in being incorrect. I just think it's the cutest. I'm kidding. No, you do.
True.
Overall, I thought it was a super fun episode. I was worried about the season, and guess what? I have been proven wrong. At least so far in episode 6. I'm highly entertained. I think Garcelle has been great. I think Sutton has been great. I mean, Sutton's always been funny and weird, but she's really just settled in. She always had that thing before of not wanting to just piss everybody off. Like when she realized she pissed everybody off, she would go into like Ramona apology mode. Now she's, I don't think she really cares.
Sutton is our flawed crusader. I mean, she's the only one on the show who really goes in. That's something that Rinna used to do before she decided to start kissing Erica's ass. But Sutton is the one to do it, and she's our flawed crusader because she never really quite does it with full conviction. She's always kind of like trepidatious about it or tentative. You know, we saw her do it with Erica at a similar dinner party. It's always at Kyle's house. A dinner party at Kyle's house, you know, a few years ago. And like, she doesn't just outright ever say like an accusation. She sort of insinuates very heavily, which can be very frustrating, but she's the only one who's willing to do it. And you know, God bless Sutton. She goes there.
Well, I don't mind an insinuation. Like, what else are you supposed to do? Is your husband cheating on you? No. And also, she didn't bring it up first. Kyle kept, meh, meh, meh. But what are you trying to say, son? I mean, Kyle is so ridiculous. She wants this storyline so badly with a cheating affair, whatever. I'm not saying she wanted to get cheated on, which I do believe is what happened. I don't believe this Morgan Wade bullshit, but I do believe she was cheated on. I think that she just wants the scandal of it all to compete with Lisa Vanderpump. She even says she wants to get a lightning tattoo today. Okay. Like, yeah, she's joking that she wants to get a lightning tattoo. I mean, she's just trying so hard. Literally nobody cares. I don't think any of the cast, the cast is not surprised that Mauricio cheated. Okay. Right. I don't think they believe this Morgan Wade thing, and see, I think they think it's creepy. Now, listen, they're in Beverly Hills, and I know everybody is used to the men doing this. That's creepy too, I think. But I think that to your friend, if your friend who's always been kind of normalish is suddenly dating someone 30 something years their junior, not 30 something years, probably a little less than 30 years her junior, I think her friends are like, I don't know about this. And so everyone's just staying quiet, and it's making Kyle crazy. She wants them all to be gossiping about her, and they're not. It is making her nuts. So this whole episode, she's really trying to get Sutton to accuse her of stuff, and Sutton's like, oh, honey, no one really cares. Okay.
But like, I guess what I just want Sutton to say is just say, hey, You stop drinking. You're working out like crazy. You're not wearing your wedding band. It seems like you're going through a lot of changes, and we just want to check in and make sure you're doing okay. Where is your state at? We're concerned. But instead, she's like, I don't know. You're working out. There's a ring. It's like, just say it, Sutton. Just say it cleanly. But at the same time, that is the joy of it, is the watching the way Sutton so awkwardly approaches things and confronts things. I mean, this is why Sutton is such a great housewife, because she is so Sutton about everything, and so dramatic and so melodramatic, and then very Southern Belle about it when she tries to confront someone.
Just say your accusation, Sutton. Just say your accusation. Sutton, just say your accusation. I'm like, oh my God, Kyle, you're trying so hard, and it's so creepy. Also, Kyle, you're such a single white female. Well, I mean, I guess you're not single, but you know what I mean. You're such a fucking stalker. Okay, not only do you admit you're a stalker, but now that we get to see Morgan Wade in flesh today, wow, Kyle. So Kyle copies all the tattoo stuff from her. She copies the sobriety stuff from her. She got her fucking face from her. Did you notice that? Kyle shows up with a new face every season. Bless her. It's Real Housewives. Also, it's 2023. If I could afford a new face every fucking day, I would get it. Okay? I'm not plastic surgery shaming anybody else. I am saying Kyle comes with a new damn face every year. Okay? And I like it. You can mark the seasons by Kyle's face. Like, they're literally different every season. This season, seeing those faces side by side, you literally went and got someone else's face. That is so fucking weird, Kyle. It's weird.
I'm surprised she didn't give herself an underbite too. That would really just seal the deal. So like one of those sling blade ones, right? Billy Bob Thornton.
Well, we did post a Forrest Gump meme for Morgan Wade today. Sling Blade would have been good too, actually. Maybe I'll go back in there and do another one of just
No, because like Morgan sort of has a tendency to stick her bottom teeth out and like touch her lips. It's cruel. I shouldn't make fun of someone's underbite.
Welcome to your own show. Like, hi. Are you new here?
It is a little cave lady. But good for her. Everyone should find their own wonderful cave lady. So why don't we dive into it? Because also we got the arrival of, I think, our next Real Housewife. Is like Anne Marie actually a housewife or is she a friend of? I can't figure it out.
She has a line. She has an opening line, doesn't she?
I think she does. And she's in the cast photo. I'm like, it's episode six. Week. And I'm like, can we like figure out who this lady is yet?
Isn't she like, my husband may play basketball, but you better not try to play with me if you've got balls or something like that. I don't know. She's probably very like anti-trans and like very problematic, this woman.
And her husband has rape allegations, by the way. BT Dubs, like, congrats. Welcome to Bravo.
So we've been waiting for her. You know, I don't want to start. First of all, I don't really know that much. All I've really read are comments saying she's transphobic and stuff like that. So fuck you for that. You know, for sure. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. I like to generally dislike somebody when they make me dislike them on the show, rather than getting myself all worked up about stuff off of the. That's my general rule. So I'm proud to also announce today that she's fucking obnoxious and annoying, and she's just going to go to bat for everything Kyle tells her to do. Yeah. And she's obviously just used as a pawn for Kyle, and it's gross and it's sad, and you should know better from watching the show. Boo to you so far, ma'am.
It was blatant. It was literally blatant. We see Kyle say, hey, like, by the way, bring this up later because they're making fun of me about me working out. So bring this up later. She literally tells her what to do. She's like, and then Anne Marie's just like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I've heard terrible things about this woman, but then the problem for me is that when I hear terrible things about Real Housewives, I tend to really like them. So I'm gonna have to like figure this out. I have this horrific moral compass when it comes to cast members, the Real Housewives. My track record is like literally terrible, and so far. I can't even pass a judgment on her. All I can say is that I thought it was pretty lame how blatantly she was just being totally blindly Team Kyle.
Yeah,
but that's sometimes how it works. A lot of times, but new housewives often start off on like a team and then they immediately jump ship. I mean, we see that with Monica on Salt Lake City and like a million other housewives who've been brought on. Margaret brought on by Siggy to New Jersey. Like that's like a very classic thing. You get brought on by one person and then you turn and attack them. And then it's a thing. So who knows?
Who knows? I guess time will tell.
Time will tell.
So we open at Kyle's house. Thank God it's sunlight and we don't have to look at that pink lighting and the fluorescent lighting in her house. Geez. Her house is lit just terribly.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm really back on the Kyle train. Feels good.
Yeah.
So Dorit and Crystal come over and Kyle's like, oh my God, you guys, my kitchen is like so unorganized. Like I need to hire someone to like help organize things, but like I can't deal with mail, you guys. Like I don't even open checks. Like I just would like to open checks. That's really all I want. Like I need a business manager now. It's like Kyle's cracked out of her mind. That's another thing. Do you think Kyle's cracked out of her mind?
I did not pick up necessarily on cracked out of your mind energy. I just got deeply unhappy energy, basically. So that could be one and the same.
Mm. So Dorit's like, you should have a business manager. What with all the business you're doing? And Kyle's like, no, I don't have a business manager. Like, I'd be much better with my spending if I had a business manager.
And he's like, well, no, it doesn't help you with your spending. And then Dorit tells us, our business manager tells me, stop shopping, Dorit. And I just don't listen. And suddenly it's like the line is like, what? It's a bad line. I'll call you later. And then I go and I buy curtains for nearby Buco di Beppo. I can't help myself. Gee.
So then Kyle brings up that Garcelle and Dorit seem to end fine after the party or whatever when Garcelle. Oh, because we didn't recap last week.
No, we didn't.
Oh, Larsa Pippen was on. This is going to be 9 million
Here's what
hours.
You need to know about last week. Garcelle had a premiere for a movie that was on Lifetime where they totally showed the ending of it. So thanks a lot. And then Larsa Pippen showed up out of nowhere, which a lot of people were like, there should have been a trigger warning if Larsa Pippen was going to show up. Larsa really picking up where Vicki Gunvalson left off in terms of problematic cancer storylines. Good for her. And there were other random people. Denise
like,
was so there.
She's trying to lie about somebody having cancer. Like, she's terrible. Vicki was at least lying about somebody not having cancer.
Yeah.
Larsa's like lying against an actual victim. Like, Larsa, Larsa remains just fucking a waste of flesh. I mean, she's just a horrible human being. Larsa's terrible. And I will never forget to back when we were doing this podcast as your other video show, it was your show, Housewives Hoedown. And we first started talking about season one of Miami, and we played that game, like, who's worse, a Nazi or Larsa? Like, we're just doing, like, what's worse? And picking the worst things we could think of versus Larsa. And, you know, Larsa won every time with 100% of the vote. Now, granted, we were the only people voting as well. But
I will always remember the question was, what's worse, Larsa or the economy? And we chose Larsa over the economy. And that was like 2008-09. It was
like literally people were like losing their homes. We're like, Larsa is worse.
Larsa's worse than foreclosures. Larsa is worse than predatory lending.
Larsa did us more wrong than Fannie and Freddie or whatever the fuck. Fuck her. Okay, so back to this. Larsa was there. Also, we learned that Garcelle has some extremely problematic housewives friends, right? I think in general. Wasn't she friends with a couple of doozies that were there last night?
I just remember Larsa, and I remember that Byron Allen was there, and they didn't even give him a chyron. I'm like, he's kind of like a mogul, and they just didn't even bother. But I can't remember who. There were some random ones there, but I don't remember any of them because it was the night before Thanksgiving. Who else was there?
Honestly, I don't really have a great memory of it either, but I do remember cringing. I was like, oh my god, Garcelle! Oh god, Garcelle! You hang out with her? Wasn't Mary Soul there? Who is
probably.
There? There were a few people that I was like,
Cynthia there? No, Cynthia wasn't there.
Well, Cynthia there? I love Cynthia.
Yeah, she's not.
I don't remember. She's here tonight. Okay. Anyway, so they go to Kyle's. So they're talking about blah, blah, blah. Who cares? So then, so also what happened is Garcelle pulled Dorit aside because Garcelle had done that thing a few episodes ago where she's like, I don't feel safe bringing my children around you. And Dorit's like, get over it. It's a year ago. A week before she had her storyline of, how can you not understand that I've got PTSD from a year ago? Like, just not getting the irony there at all, or the hypocrisy, I guess I should say. So Garcelle had a talk with her. And Dorit, to her credit, did not call Garcelle a bully or accuse her of yelling, which I think is the first time.
And she didn't even say the word jabbing.
Little jabs. Jabbing. It's like jabbing. Lots of jabbing. Lots of bullying. Jabbing. Bullying jabs. Jabs and bully. Gee.
And also Dorit, anyway, just to finish that, Dorit was just like, I'm sorry. Like, she was smart enough to just say, you know what? You're right. That was fucked up. And I'm sorry. I was impressed. But also, Dorit is going to have a bone to pick with Garcelle. So I think she was trying to reset the stage so that she can come back at Garcelle. Because Dorit's storyline last week was Garcelle had this movie premiere or whatever and didn't tell Dorit that there would be people there. Dorit just thought it was going to be the girls. And Dorit was sent into PTSD because she didn't have time to now granted she was just at Magic Mike in Las Vegas, which is literally human stacked on human stacked on human and then naked ones gyrating all over other humans. So I don't know. I mean, the way she explained it is that she can prepare herself usually, to which I would say, okay, then you should probably tell yourself every time you leave the house and go into the world that there are people there. Like, what do you want? Really, Dorit?
Yeah.
Come on. Now, that's not to discount her PTSD, but there is part of me that's like, Dorit.
Yeah, I don't discount the PTSD. Right? I don't discount the PTSD because it was like literally such a terrifying thing that she went through. Like I don't discount it whatsoever. It's one of those things, though, where because it's Dorit, like, just in general, I just sort of globally discount most things that Dorit says. Like, everything's always like a little exaggerated no matter what. So when she was at this premiere in a room full of 50 people and someone walks by her, she goes, ah! I'm like, not only that, she was surrounded by three cameras.
PTSD.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold.
I literally paused to count three cameras.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, that was like a little funny to me, you know.
You're right. Yeah, she did do the thing when she's talking to somebody. She's being filmed. There's a camera like literally a foot away from her, another one in front of her, and another one behind her, and someone passes by and she screams. So.
But the other thing that I can remember, besides, I think there was some more Crystal stuff with her brother, which but Kyle and Sutton.
No, we're not going to pass that. Fuck that. Get that off my screen. Crystal, people call you boring, so you bring your brother to cry on screen. Your brother is a drama queen. Granted, you could use some of that drama on this show, okay? But your brother crying about his girlfriend, I can't. And then when she's FaceTime, Rob's like, you know, I think it was your fault because you and your mom are so bossy to your brother, and you guys made him come here during COVID, and that's why he broke up with his girlfriend. And so maybe it's your fault. You should apologize. First of all, we all thought COVID was the end of the world, okay? Mm-hmm. He should have chosen his fucking family over his girlfriend first off.
100%.
So I'm with Crystal on. And second, don't call your brother to cry on the FaceTime. So Crystal calls him, it's literally like, I can't talk right now. I'm processing. Oh, fuck off. Okay, get your own show.
Wait, no, I said 100% because I thought you said something else. I think that for a fiance, I think you have to choose the fiance over the sister and the mom, actually.
No.
It's your fiance. It's your fiance.
Well, your fiance. Like, okay, then get married. Then choose your wife. That's what I say.
A loop.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's Comment.
Today, hip-hop dominates pop culture, but it wasn't always like that. And to tell the story of how that changed, I want to take you back to a very special year in rap.
88, it was too much good music. The world was on fire.
Fire, yeah. I'm Will Smith. This is Class of 88, my new podcast about the moments, albums, and artists that inspired a sonic revolution and secured 1988 as one of hip-hop's most important years. We'll talk to the people who were there. And most of all, we'll bring you some amazing stories.
You know what my biggest memory from that tour is? It was your birthday.
Yes, and you brought me the Sade life-size cardboard cutout.
This is Class of 88, the story of a year that changed hip-hop.
Listen to Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the entire series right now on the Amazon Music app or Audible.
The other thing that happened was that Garcelle's son went up to Erica and was like, yeah, everything's fine. And Erica's like, that's a closet. And then she's like, split her legs, like, free tickets to my show. Just kidding. But, you know, he said that. So they're all good. Garcelle was like, well, I would have liked it if Erica had gone up to him, but that's fine. And then the other thing. I mean, there was obviously a big Kyle and Sutton thing, which we're probably saving for last. The other thing was, I think Erica's mom came to visit and drove Erica nuts, which was funny to see. I enjoyed that. But yeah, basically.
Team Erica's mom, by the way, in that one.
Yeah.
What an asshole Erica is. Yeah, she was an asshole.
Yeah, because Erica's mom was like, I liked when Erica's mom was like, yeah, so how many times did you go to that firm, Tom's firm? I'm not wearing a wire or anything. How many times do I speak into my lapel?
She's like,
Mother, I do not want to speak about this right now.
And she's like,
Mother, did you do the dishes?
My mother would be like, oh, no, here's one. Here's a dirty spoon in the sink and gouge my eyes out with it if I ever asked her if she did my dishes. Who are you? Who raised you? But you know who raised you? That lady, until, you know, you ran away to some, like, Hooters. Well, not Hooters. What was that place called?
Bada Bing or something, or the
it was the original Bada Bing, right?
It was like Flippers or Flashers or Flackers. Whiskers. Whiskers. Fancy Feast. The big thing though is at the end of the episode was that Sutton and Kyle have like a sit down moment at this premiere to try to clear the air because of the Nymum fight that they had, where Kyle then ran off into the rain afterwards. And basically, Kyle is just was being like very obnoxious. Like Sutton was just, if my my recollection was that Sutton was trying to be like, hey, like what was going on that night? She was trying to clear the air, and Kyle was like, meh. And Sutton says, like, you know, you treat me like a little sister. And Kyle's like, no, I don't. And you should be so lucky. So lucky. I would never say anyone is lucky to be a Richard sister. They have the most dysfunction out of any sisters we see on Bravo. They go months at a time not talking, and they all have their own enormous demons that they grapple with. So I don't think, I think she is lucky that she's not a little sister to you, Kyle.
Well, she actually is treating her like a sister, if you think of how Kyle treats her sister. 100%. She accused one of being an alcoholic on TV. Well, I mean, she accused her, but I mean, it was true. But she outed her for being an alcoholic on TV, which she's currently doing with Sutton, in addition to accusing Sutton of having an eating disorder. And then the other one she's kind of accusing of being a crazy alcoholic, which is Kathy, right? She did that through Rinna last year, but still.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, sounds like how you treat your sisters to me.
Yeah, I mean, Sutton is in the role right now of sort of like big sister, actually. Sutton feels like she's being treated like a little sister, but actually Sutton is in the role of big sister, big popular sister. And Kyle struggles with people like older figures. Now, when I say older figures, I don't mean like age-wise. I guess more like authority figures, or I guess older sister figures, right? Vanderpump, Kathy, Kim, and now Sutton, who also are popular. And Kyle cannot deal with that. I mean, that I think goes back to her childhood of like Kim being a star and Kyle being, you know, someone who like holds books off to the side or something. I don't know. So yeah. I think that just, she just rehashes that relationship over and over and over again with her friends.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. Fucking annoying. For the most part, that's pretty much where I'm standing. I don't know. I don't want to go too deep on Kyle because she's painful. She's a painful cringe person.
And we also
stop stealing faces. Episode. But I guess we'll know that she really is treating Sutton like a sister when next week Kyle has a pickup truck with Sutton's house on the back and she's just driving it away.
That's the whole reason why she rented the house to Sutton. I think she was like actively like upset when Sutton moved out because she wanted to kick her out.
She wanted to sell it out from under her. So they're making jokes about getting a business manager for Kyle. And Dorit's like, well, I have a business manager. They don't tell me anything. They say, stop shopping, Dorit. And guess what? I don't listen. Or suddenly, the telephone line. I think, I can't hear you. Hello? I can't hear you.
Guys, last night, I just thought with Garcelle, you know what? It's the right thing to do for me to apologize and you know, for making her feel bad about it. And it just takes time, you know? It's like as I sing in Peter Pan Live while I get cream pies smashed in my face, my heart will go on. My heart will go on.
So then, of course, Kyle brings this meeting to session and lets us know why we're all gathered here today, which is to officially accuse Sutton of alcoholism. So she's like, guys, can I ask your advice, guys? Because, like, I really do care about Sutton. Like, I really care about her. But, like, you know, something's off lately. Like, you know, off. Tapping my forearm to inject some heroin, you know. You know, something. I'm not really sure what it is. Whoring around, sleeping too much, drugs, alcohol. Drugs and alcohol and hookers. I don't really know, guys. I don't really know what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I mean, like, the other night, like, at her house, she started talking about, like, when the elevator's doors opened when we were leaving Vegas, and she said, that was planned. And I was like, that definitely didn't happen, okay? Because I know when things are planned. I'm actually a working actress, and part of my life is having things planned. So, for instance, I was in this film called Halloween and Halloween Kills. I don't know if you're familiar. Oscar winner Jamie Lee Curtis. What was I talking about again? Anyway, you're welcome, everyone.
Planning something like that, that's insane. I was like, okay, Dorit, I don't need Dorit's opinion on what's pre-planned and what's not pre-planned. Dorit, you've got a lot of shady shit that's happened over at your place. All right, let's just let that one go. So Dorit is saying that's impossible. Now, I think it's unlikely, the elevator timing. I do think that the plan was, now that I think about it, because I think you were right. You were saying last week, how do you time an elevator to get there right as they're getting to the elevator. I think
especially
that's true.
Those massive places.
But I do think that she was, I do think that Erica texted those guys and was like, we're going down. And they were like, okay. And they were going to have this. I do believe that was planned. I think they just like lucked out that the elevator happened to stop there. Cause it's also weird that they would go down at exactly the right, the same time to go be in the lobby for this guy to confront Sutton.
Also, by the way, this speaks volumes to.
I'm glad I made such an emphatic statement there. I was like, that's what listen, I believe. Go ahead.
We're making really important points on this podcast today. And my important point is this. I feel like universally, I think we all know the universal reaction to when an elevator door opens up and there's someone you know that's in the elevator door. And even though they're like one floor above, it could be a three-story building and they're one story above and they're there. There's always like this moment of delight, like, oh my God, how are you? That's funny. Come on in. Like even when Ronnie, we do it all the time when we're in hotels together, when this happens all the time. And we're like, hey, meet down in the lobby in 5 minutes. Sure. And then 5 minutes pass and I get into the elevator and the door opens on your floor and you walk in and you go, ha, how are you? And like we're always, it's always like this delightful surprise. And I think it speaks volumes to Erica that instead of having a moment of delight, she turns and turns it into a moment of acidity. Hilarious acidity. I mean, honestly, it was very funny, but it was acidity. And I think that speaks to her character.
Acidity and pre-planning.
Okay, so that was my really important point that I had to make. So they do this whole, Kyle does this whole impersonation of Sutton doing an impersonation of Erica doing something. And Dorit's like, well, you know, I've been there. Oh, Kyle goes, oh, yeah. And then she said, like, defend your friend, Kyle. Defend your friend. I mean, she's so aggressive. Like, every time I would say that, I'd think, like, literally she would, like, bite my head off, like, in a different way than, like, it was just, like, it was mean. It was mean.
She was so mean to me. That's Kyle's thing. Oh, my God. That's so mean, you guys. That is so mean. I can't believe you're so mean to me right now.
Kyle, you sold your sister's house. So Dorit's like, I mean, I've been there. I mean, in an elevator, that is. But she goes from 0 to 60 really quick. She'll be like, and then all of a sudden she does like a Sutton impersonation that's surprisingly good. She's like, oh my God, my reputation and my morals. And what do you mean? In literally the same sentence.
That was a really good impersonation of her, I thought. And so Carl's like, why do you think that is? And Dorit's like, well, I'll just go and say it. Sutton's a drinker, isn't she? You know, she's somebody. I wouldn't be surprised if she pours a little vodka and a coffee in the morning. Am I right? I mean, she probably uses vodka like Dorit, like PK uses Doritas in his coffee.
I love that they are like scandalized that a Southern Belle divorcee who's rather delicate in disposition actually leans on alcohol. Like, yeah, that's I think why we've all liked her. So then Crystal's like, okay, Dorit, says the woman who has that has three carcasses out in her cocktail that the entire world knows about. Which is true.
Yeah, but I mean, there is a drink between having a cocktail and being drunk. And but my thing with Crystal is she doesn't really say that. She says it to us, but then to them, she's like, well, everybody talks about her drinking, but like, I'm terrible at gauging because like, I mean, she always seems sort of fine. Unlike my brother, who's really sad. Right? So anyway, like, you're also used to it. You know, like vodka makes some people like very, very mean, you guys, like really mean. And Crystal's like, I mean, just because Kyle stopped drinking yesterday, I mean, doesn't mean suddenly she can have all these judgments. Yeah, that's the quitting drinking crew for this. I think it's like people stage. Who have found Jesus that week or keto or stopped P90, drinking.
Or
they
like
all
CrossFit
act the same.
Yeah. CrossFit. You guys gotta do CrossFit. What's your WOD? Oh, that means workout of the day. You should do it. You're not doing it. Oh.
What are your macros?
But Crystal's right because she's like, Kyle, you just got sober. And of course now Kyle's like, I mean, if I were to have vodka, I mean, I don't drink vodka because I'm sober, by the way, and like I would just like fall asleep. So I'm, although I don't feel like that's what we've seen from, oh, I guess she's a tequila drinker, that was her thing. So then Crystal's like, well, maybe Kyle's just jealous that Sutton can hold them down.
So Dorit's like, okay, so what do we do with Sutton now? And Kyle's like, well, you know, like, I want to repair it because, like, she's worth it. Like, I really care about her and stuff, you guys. But, you know, like, I'm going to make the effort. I just want it to be, like, you know, when she's not drinking, Kyle. Or drugging or whoring. You know, whatever it is. I mean, I'm a friend, so.
Yeah, Kyle's doing this whole thing, like, you know, just got to make sure we find her at a moment when she's calm and not agitated. Like, she's just so... Well, normally I would say she is, like, really gaslighting the situation. But to be fair, when you do think about Sutton, there is some truth to it. Like, you do have a small window when Sutton is just, like, chill.
I feel like she's chill until people fuck with her. Kyle's constantly fucking with her. She's just poking at her. And then Sutton gets mad. And she's like, oh my God, you guys, Sutton is being mean. She's an alcoholic. Like, it's typical fucking Kyle. So she's acting like, oh, I don't want to call her an alcoholic. I just want to be, you know, I just want to talk to her. You know, I just need to wait for a calm time. And Crystal goes, well, is there an environment you feel like she's calmer? Like maybe in the day? And Kyle goes, I mean, before 10 a.m. Am I right? You fucking alcoholic. I didn't say that. Was that my outside voice?
Right. It is Kyle's habit of calling out alcoholism. I mean, isn't that like the crux of
you're actually, a goddamn alcoholic? She did that one time with Kim, but most of the time on this show, 95% of the time, she's like, how dare you call my sister an alcoholic? Like, how dare you? Like, that's always been her plot. Like, you don't get to say that about somebody else. Like, that's somebody else's thing. Like, how dare you do that to Kim? Poor Kim. How could you do that? And yeah. Now, of course, she's completely... It's Kyle. So, you know, anything that she's mad at, she's going to be a total hypocrite about it in another season.
Well, because she's back to season one Kyle now. And so, like, season one Kyle called out her sister's alcoholism. And then season two Kyle learned and then had other people do it instead and then pretended like she was outraged by it. So, Sutton and Garcelle meet for dinner at a bar, and they're gathering, and Garcelle is just like, they're making small talk about drinking.
She's like, I'll get a kettle on the rocks. Oh, well, I didn't have anything to drink at your thing last night, so don't look at me that way. So she gets a kettle on the rocks. So now the implication is like, oh my God, we go from the alcoholism scene to Sutton ordering straight alcohol, but she did pour that shit, that Ocean Breeze shit that she keeps in her purse into it. That's why she ordered it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I'm not defending someone. I feel like I shouldn't have to defend somebody if they are an alcoholic. You know what I mean? That's just a shitty thing to accuse somebody of. Now, am I always on here accusing people of it and being on cocaine? Yes, constantly. But I'm not, it's not my real friends. Like, I just don't think that's right. Like, unless she's crashed into somebody or in case she's like ruining her life or something. But like, to just get in a fight with somebody so then make the whole season about how that they're probably an alcoholic, that's just shit. I don't like that.
Right. And Kyle is invoking this basically because Sutton had the balls to actually say to clap back at Kyle for Magic Mike. Basically, this is all from the Magic Mike thing. And now Kyle doesn't like being accused of being a bad friend, so now this is what she trots out with. So Garcelle, they're talking about the night before. There's some like jokey stuff about Sutton eating bacon, like, oh God, she's a vegetarian. Oh my God. Ha ha ha. And Garcelle's like, well, last night I couldn't have been happier. I mean, first of all, with the turnout, I mean, the fact that I had over 100 people there, I mean, who were you surprised to see last night, Sutton? And Sutton's like, oh, Jerry O'Connell, the way he kept on mentioning girls are like this and boys are like this. Have you ever noticed that men don't like doing shopping, but girls love to shop? God, I love when he brings that up.
I think this is the first person I've ever heard say they're surprised that Jerry O'Connell showed up somewhere. Like, wow, there was a Housewives event and Jerry O'Connell showed up. I'm completely fucking shocked. What a surprise. So they're talking about how cute he is. And then we start with Erica. Garcelle's like, how are you and Erica? And she's like, well, I just saw her for a brief set. You know what? We don't have anything to talk about. I mean, it's Erica. What are you going to talk about? You know what I mean? She lets all her talking be done by spreading her leg. You know what? I just don't read that language. Just don't read it. You educate it. Don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, that was wild. I mean, the elevator doors open up and there they were. And so I goes, you know what? I said the same thing to Kyle. And Garcelle's like, and what did she say? Well, she defended Erica. I mean, and you didn't get upset by that? I did get upset because that's about me and Erica and it has nothing to do with Kyle, and, you know, and Kyle and Sutton, us, our relationship. And I think she feels the need to, what is the word, insert herself almost like a dildo into a vagina, you know, like a real lesbian kind of insertion. You know what I'm saying? And that was just a bit hurtful last night.
And then we get the flashback to the little sister accusation. Like, you treat me like a little sister. And Kyle being like, I do not. Don't flatter yourself. And Sutton's like, yeah, you know, I mean, listen, all I said was a lot of times when you lose weight and you exercise, there's just something else going on in your life. You know what I mean? I think that's true.
Yes.
And especially in single people, like when you have been cheated on, you get your revenge body. It's literally called a revenge body. Okay. It's not like anybody's making anything up. But it could also be eating disordered, or it could be copying this lady who you're now obsessed with, like a fucking crazy person, and just doing everything like she's doing, including getting your face just like hers. So,
well, but the other thing is, that it's not just about like deciding to get sober or to get into shape. You know, those are both actually really like healthy, good things to do. But it's like all of a sudden the tattoos and all of a sudden the wedding band not there. Like there are several things happening all at once that are like raising eyebrows. And it's not just like, it's just weird that Kyle, who's always been very conspicuous about her jewelry and like she's pining after other people's jewelry and flaunting whatever she has, all of a sudden she's putting it in the bank. It wasn't Dorit getting robbed that caused her to put her jewelry into the bank. That wasn't it. No, it was just she decided to put it in the bank for no reason. So it does feel like something's going on with Kyle, and it is definitely a midlife crisis.
Well, and now that we've seen this, now that we know what's going on because of social media and Page Six and music videos that Kyle's making with Morgan.
Ooh. Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now that we know all that's going on and we know about Morgan just from reading about her and that she's obsessed with working out and that she's sober and that she has tattoos, like it makes more sense to see Kyle doing that. But Kyle is literally taking on a whole new personality of somebody that she's copying. So these people who don't know this are like, what is Kyle doing? Like, since when does Kyle work out three times a day? Since she's found someone else that does it, that she wants to emulate. That's exactly what Kyle's always done. You know, she's always been jealous and tried to copy what everybody else does. I mean, listen, it all one of the more recent examples in like a show of hundreds of them is that fucking swing in her backyard that's just like the wish version of Vanderpump's swing in her backyard. You know, it's just so Kyle. But and of course it makes sense because we see that she's copying someone, but these people don't know it. They're just like, who just starts out of nowhere working out 3 hours a day? It's not normal.
Right. So they're talking about Kyle's ring now, the sapphire and diamond ring. And so then we see a flashback of Kyle FaceTiming with Sutton, and Sutton saying, did you get a new ring? And Kyle saying, oh, look at you, little Miss Detective. This is a new ring. Yeah, you love sapphires. That's why you noticed it. And Sutton's like, well, I don't miss much. But by the way, if there's anyone who's a detective, it's Kyle. Kyle is the one who has the like Terminator eyes to everyone's jewelry. Every single season, she's like, oh my God, is that like a 3-carat ring? Oh my God, let me look at that. Let me look at that. I mean, every single season. And now she's acting like Sutton is the one who is sort of like, oh my God, you're crazy for looking at what's on my ring finger right now.
Well, it's not only that. How can she not see it? I mean, let's remember, this is a FaceTime call. And Kyle is talking like this to Sutton. Hey, she's got like her hand up on her face. She's like putting her ring right in the fucking camera of the phone. It's not like some subtle thing. Kyle's like, hey, what's going on, Sutton? What's going on? Her little tongue just sticking out. Still getting that quarter of her mouth.
It's like alien.
Holding her fucking ring up right to the FaceTime. The FaceTime can only get this much of the screen. Kyle's obviously waving it up there. And then later when they show her being caught by the paparazzi, she's literally holding her hand up to like get the shot. Come on.
It's a lot of Kyle's hands in this episode. It was a lot to take in visually. So Garcelle is like, well, I don't even know like how she even noticed that Kyle was wearing a different ring. I mean, I never pay attention to that. The only time I notice jewelry is when after the robbery, Dorit still had hers. And then all of a sudden she just sips out. I was like, oh, that was like, I love a drive-by shade. You're not expecting it. About like someone who's not in the scene and not involved in the scene. And then out of nowhere, you're like, oh, shit.
It's nice to hear somebody on the show actually say something, because it's always been talked about on the internet, you know, but no one on the show really says anything. Mm-hmm. So they start talking about, like, what Garcelle's like, well, what's the big deal if she has a new ring? Who cares? And Sutton's like, well, I mean, the tabloids do say that Kyle and Maurizio are having problems in their marriage. So, and she's like, okay. And then we see montage of all the social media posts with Kyle holding her hand up while, you know, split. Are they splitting the news that he's having an affair? She's like, it's all over the internet. Okay. And listen, I have no interest in Kyle's marriage. I just care about Kyle. I just care about Kyle.
Also, don't forget, I think it was in this part here, there was another piece of evidence. This may be the most damning of all. Kyle changed her monogram. And her luggage used to say KRU, and all of a sudden now it says KR. I mean, look, right? You're changing your monogram. That's just like fighting words right there in Beverly Hills.
She's begging for people to ask her, and no one is asking her. It's got to be making her fucking crazy that all she can get is something veiled from Sutton. When Sutton's like, is everything okay? Is your husband cheating on you? Like, I've got a good lawyer. I make a ton of money off my divorce, honey. Like, she's got someone doing that, but Kyle really wants someone to be fighting with her about it. She's not getting it, and I'm dying.
Kyle, yeah. Kyle loves a visual cue. I mean, all you have to do is rewind to the first scene of the episode. I forgot to bring this up. When they're all talking in the kitchen, did you see what was on the kitchen counter? It was a literal sign that says, like, Netflix presents Buying Beverly Hills. It literally just says it right there. I was like, this is just blatant chilling. You just literally put up a billboard in your kitchen. She's always going to advertise.
Sounds bad. Going on life. Yeah. So Erica goes to meet. Okay. So that's the end of that. So now Erica goes to meet Alexis, her new manager. And Alexis is like, oh, you look pretty in pink, like a walking Barbie, Erica. She's like, oh, yeah, but it's so good to see you, baby. It's so good to be here. And she tells us,
well, you know, she has a background in publicity. And I was together with my Jax, but we've decided not to work together.
And we see clips of her being accused of being the leak last year because of her manager or whatever, hearing shit, yeah. Leaking it to Page Six.
The Gretchen Rossi best friend, Jack. I mean, that's where you knew you were going to go wrong, was with this guy. It was just his track record. Jack, yeah. Because I just have a very distinct memory of Gretchen Rossi bringing him to a party in Orange County once. And like, I've always remembered that. And I'm like, you hired the guy that was Gretchen Rossi's plus one to a party at like Vicky Tanis's house? Really? So, they're talking about her career and everything, and Alexis is saying how, like, you know, we need to be realistic because you're at a pivotal point. You don't know how to sing. Okay, God, I'm so glad we got that out. Okay, also, you were essentially on top of the world, and by on top of the world, I mean, you were sort of like, I guess, like, you know, it was like you were on a step stool on the world. Maybe you're not on top, but you were just sort of like, you were a few steps up a little bit, and you were on Broadway, and everything was good for you, and then obviously, I mean, you got completely stopped in your tracks by like a fraud, like a scandal, like a little, you know, fraud scandal, you know, it created a lot of uncertainty around your name, around your brand in quotes, because it's not like you really have a real brand, you know. Tell me if I'm oversharing too much.
I love it created uncertainty around your brand. What did it? What were people uncertain about? She had those gigs because Tom was out there buying gay clubs out for her to go in there and perform at that. Like, everybody knows that at this point. So it's so silly. But she's getting the hard talk from Alexis. And she's like, oh, yeah, people wanted to know. Am I viable?
And to be perfectly honest with you, and believe me, Tom's indictment has not helped. Okay. It helped in the sense of Erica didn't get indicted, which is what I've been trying to tell anybody, everybody, anyways. But does that translate into people wanting to work with me?
No.
I mean, I was this close to locking in that contract with the New York City Opera.
They were just about to hire me to be a judge on The Voice.
I mean, wow. So this is like another Erica scene where she is like, oh, wow, look, I'm not guilty of anything. I have no lawsuits against me. And back to Broadway. Here's my first cobblestone on this street to the Tonys. Which, you know what? God bless her and her delusional ass, because those are usually the people who win, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And again, it's weird that I'm liking Erica this season. So despite all this, I don't understand what's going on. That's still
I like, even though she's kind of still lying her ass off, she's doing it in a more honest way, if that makes any, like, she's still delusional, yeah. But she's like,
yeah, and I was wrong in this thing and I was wrong in that thing. And, oh God, someone's ringing on my doorbell. You're not allowed to do that. We're recording Watch What Crappens. FedExery. Don't do it again.
Oh, it's a real doorbell, huh?
Yeah, I thought you were going to be like, it's my mother. She's showing up with another quote-unquote flower arrangement that has a giant microphone in it. I think she's on. I'm on to her. I think just because she's like laughing at shit more. I'm like, okay. Now that she's laughing at shit, I like her. So, anyway, so basically the manager is like, she goes, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine that you want to perform again. She's like, yeah, bitch, why do you think I hired you? Okay, yeah, I want to get back on stage. I want to make new music. I want to be entertaining again. I want
to make songs that have more than three notes in them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I love Alexis's negativity, because she's like, you know, I just think, gosh, I should make some calls and see, like, if anybody will even take a meeting with you, you know? I mean, I guess you never know until you ask. Like, what the hell? Aren't you supposed to be a little more positive? I mean, not to stick up for Erica here, but aren't you supposed to be like, oh my God, Erica, it's going to be great. You're going to be great. Everything is going to be fine. I got you, girl. Alexis is like, yeah, you're pretty much still drowning, and I'm not sure that we can stop it, but hey, guess what? On the bright side, 15% of nothing is nothing. Am I right? Okay, I'm going to lose.
Oh my God. Guess what? It's already working. You just got an offer to be part of the chorus to sing the Z100 logo jingle in New York City. Are you down for that?
Yeah, I suppose a job's a job.
So now we have Garcelle and her son going to dinner, and Garcelle is choking, and her son thinks it might be a tonsil thing. So I wonder if they're setting up a tonsil issue for Garcelle. Who knows? So then they go to...
Who knows what excitement the Garcelle storyline holds.
The mysteries. So they go to this Japanese restaurant. Garcelle's with Jax. And they're sort of having banter back and forth, and they're just having conversation. And she's talking about how it's like with twins, you've got to mother them differently. And Jax needs a lot of like conversation and reassurance and talk. He likes to talk things out, and you really have to listen to him, yada, yada, yada. So they're talking. He's very precocious. He's very bantery. And this is where they talk about the fact that he actually always knew. He's known since he was 8 that his dad had cheated on Garcelle.
Yeah, because he Googled it. She's like, what? Google? And so then she tells us again how she found out about Mike's infidelity. Like, I have nothing more to say. You go ahead. I need to get back to Garcelle.
Well, she's just, I mean, there's not really, it's hard to really, there's not much to say here. It's just that, like, basically, she's shocked, she's surprised, and she feels really guilty that he's had to grow up with this knowledge, etc. But he's like, don't worry, mom, I'm basically an adult and I don't need parenting anymore, and I know how to do everything in life, and you don't have to worry about me. By the way, how do you pay for a bill at a restaurant?
And yeah, can I have $500?
How do gas pumps work?
So now the moment we've all been waiting for. Kyle goes to a tattoo gallery to meet with Stefano. And she's like, oh my God, did you get my text? Like, I actually didn't say anything about coming here today, but like, here I am now. Like, sorry to just text you last minute. I have like a very intricate design. I got it from a basic bitch book of tattoos. So do you have anything more? Basically, I just want anything that they would sell in gold plated at Claire's, but put in a tiny way somewhere on my body.
Great. Yeah, I just want it to be like a planet and stars. That's like, I feel like it's really original. So she goes, yeah, so my friend Morgan says, like, you overthink it too much. And she has like a lot of tattoos. She's actually like the coolest person I've ever met. Like, she's like my favorite. She's like the best.
So Kyle, I read this comment on Reddit. Hi Reddit, love you, Bravo Real Housewives. So I was reading a comment on there that said, I looked Kyle's tattoo up. I love this. I love fucking people. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was looking up in my house, what does Saturn represent? Cause I was like, this has got, I was looking up Morgan Wade Saturn. Mm-hmm. Morgan Wade planet. I couldn't find anything except her Saturn is in Pisces. I do know that. But anyway, I read a comment later on Reddit that was saying that someone else has Kyle's tattoo. And it's Giselle Bundchen, the model, who got her tattoo when she got separated from her husband. And I looked up the tattoo, and it's similar. It's got the stars, and it's got a moon instead of Saturn. But, you know, leave it up to Kyle. She can't even get an original divorce tattoo. Come on.
No. So I looked up what Saturn is the god of. And first thing came up was agriculture, which I love that Kyle Richards gets a, like, she's like, I need to represent agriculture on my body. But
I'm really here for organic corn in this divorce.
She's like, now that Shakta's closing, I need to carry on the torch. But of course, the gods all stand for different things, right? Like multiple things. So according to this blurb from Wikipedia that shows up when I do Google, it says Saturn was described as a god of time, generation. By the way, I don't think Kyle wants anything to do with time on her body. I think she's actively working against that. Generation, she is generating new looks and experiences. Dissolution, everyone. That's you know, marriages. Abundance, she loves abundance. Wealth, she loves wealth. Periodic renewal and liberation. So I think the keywords there, liberation, dissolution. I think that right there. Like if anyone on this cast had done like the basic research that I just did, they would have like literally had all the evidence that they needed.
Well, here's another one. This is Saturn in astrology, zodiac. What does it mean in astrology? It is I achieve. That's what it means. The ringed planet's motto is I achieve. And it guides you towards fulfilling your goals and get to work and work hard. So I'm looking at it as a workout. Like I'm really into working out. Like it's discipline.
I also can't help but think of the vehicle, the Saturn car, and that was a failed car. So, I mean, she might as well just put on like a Yugo and a Geo and a Pontiac.
It was like a ripoff of other cars, and ultimately it was just so boring it failed. Yeah,
it was closed down.
There you go. So, yeah, she is with Stefano, who's like, oh, my God, you have a secret? Am I in trouble? What's going on? Why would you text me last minute? And she's like, no, it's not a secret. I just didn't tell. I'm so girly and young. So then she's, like, filled with this energy. Now, I have to say, people online were like, oh, my God, there's so much chemistry here with Morgan and Kyle. It's just, like, off the charts. Mm-hmm. I got stalker. I got lonely lady who's on tour all the time and needs somebody to talk to and possibly a mother figure or a big sister figure. And then I got stalker.
I actually got no chemistry. I got like awkwardness. I mean, I picked up on like a vibe, but like I did not pick up on chemistry. But then again, I'm not sure. Is it possible to have chemistry with Morgan? She was not the most personality forward person I feel like I've seen on TV. So I feel like I can't imagine people having chemistry with her ever, whether that was like secret or not. But I just
tattoos sort of her like... personality, Ben.
Kyle was definitely very coy and she was giggling a lot and she was like nervous. She definitely had a big nervous energy about her. So then Morgan comes in. At long last, Morgan comes in and Kyle's like, oh, my God. I was just like telling Stefano that I overthink these things. And like, clearly you don't. Cause I was like, sure, I'd put on like Saturn or not Saturn. And like, you're not worried whatsoever. And Morgan's like,
no, I'm not. I'm all covered up.
Yeah, I'm just all covered.
She goes, yeah, you're covered. Like, could you imagine like my house if I showed up with that tattoo, like a throat tattoo? Oh my God, that would be so crazy. Mo would like, wait, where are we going to put it? That's the other thing. Where are we going to put my tattoo? I'm going to get the tattoo. Look how many tattoos she has. Like, I mean, I don't have that many yet. I mean, maybe I will. Right, Morgan? That's crazy. Do you remember that time we got egg rolls at the Chinese restaurant? I'm going to get an egg roll. Should I get an egg roll? Do you think that's going to look like a big dick? I shouldn't do that. God, Maurizio hates egg rolls. I want it. I want an egg roll. I want an egg roll.
I'm partial to crab rangoon.
That's my favorite too. Oh my God, I love crab rangoon. Oh my God, can we just like order like a lot of crab rangoons right now? Should I get a tattoo of a crab rangoon? I'm going to do it. It'll be like our little secret, okay?
Oh my God, did I tell you that Mo asked me how many I have? That's hilarious. Like, he didn't even know how many I had. And she goes,
yeah, and you say you got five. That's what you said, right? You got five tattoos. She goes, yeah, I have five. She goes, wow. Yeah, well, I got into a fight on my Instagram about you. Somebody on Instagram said, like, they're coming about my tattoos and saying, like, I was trying to look like you. And I was like, what? Who cares? Who cares if it looks like me? Like, they're going to assume you're having a midlife crisis or something with all those tattoos, Kyle. Kyle's like, I'm working.
Morgan, great, thanks, Morgan. then she goes, Morgan and I are just like really close friends. We talk every day about, you know, like our favorite things, like crab rangoon and tattoos, air. We both love air. That's great. We love that. We just have so much in common. You just can't really get it. So then she's like, people are just like really confused about our friendship. And Stefanos is like, so how did you guys meet? She goes, Morgan goes, yeah.
She stalked me.
I was like, I did. I did. I was like, I heard her music once and I was like, oh my God, who is this girl with this voice and this beautiful face? She's like an angel in tattoos who loves crab rangoon. Oh my God, we're like best friends. People are confused.
Yeah, my friends are freaking out because you shared it on the story, Kyle. She's like, well, it's because I wanted to get your attention. That's why I did it. It's crazy. It's like, yeah, they're like, oh my gosh, it's Kyle Richards. Wow.
Morgan is 100% herself. Like, no excuses, no apologies. She's just like herself. I mean, just like exploding with so much personality. I mean, did you know she loves chairs? Yeah, I'm just going to, I don't want to speak for her, but like, it's just like, it just comes out, oozes out of her pores. Oh God, she's great.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.